Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Smell Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boateng. This week, join me in listening to an episode with Dr. Marcus Haller from Corowell, which is a newly created rapid and objective COVID-19 symptom screening test. Dr. Haller is the owner and CEO of Corowell and is currently located in Germany. We talk about his work in the medical devices field and how he decided to start Corowell, along with what it takes to receive FDA approval for such devices, and many other things. Our interview was recorded in January 2021. Let's listen to the interview. Good afternoon, Dr. Haller. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on the Smell Podcast today.
Hi. Thank you.
So to get started, I was excited to speak with you. We're going to start off and have you introduce yourself to everyone. So can you please introduce yourself to the audience? Where are you from and where do you currently live?
Yes, hi. My name is Marcus Haller. I'm the owner and CEO of Corowell. I was born in Germany and I've lived for about 30 years abroad. I've lived in the U.S. for 10 years, in Chicago, in Minneapolis, and in Boulder, Colorado, and for 15 years in Switzerland, and 5 years in Asia, in Singapore, and Malaysia. And COVID-19 really made me come back to Germany to be close to my parents. Here I have a number of medical device projects and companies that I manage from my old hometown. Currently I'm in a project where I develop a tinnitus product. It's mostly app software based, and I produce medical vaporizers, and I have developed the Corowell product.
Sounds like you're a world traveler and you dabble in many different sorts of technologies. So that's pretty fantastic. So you mentioned that you work for a company called Corowell. Can you please tell us what that is and how did you get it started?
I got started with Corowell last summer because I felt I wanted to make a contribution to help to break the infection chains and try to get a bit of normal life back to people. At the time, the available test methods had their limitations. They were very expensive and still do take a long time. In a nutshell, they could not provide what I thought and still think is required. Over the summer, I started reading a lot of scientific and clinical publications. I wanted to learn what symptoms are most indicative for COVID and which ones could be easily measured or monitored. I found that anosmia, the loss of sense of smell, was one of the first symptoms. And in addition, the papers that I read reported more and more very powerful data on anosmia and COVID.
Yeah, it's definitely a major symptom of COVID. So it's interesting that you saw insight into that pretty quickly and were able to get started with Corowell. So you mentioned that you also have other background in your history of other medical device projects. So I guess, how did you get into that arena in the very beginning? Like, how did you get interested in creating medical devices?
Yeah, I've spent my whole career in medical devices. I have a master's degree in biomedical engineering. I have an MBA and I have a PhD in innovation management. And I've worked for big medical device companies in the 90s. And since about 2000, I've had my own companies. I filed about 70 patents over the years. And there I learned that sometimes solutions can and should be very simple. As a five-year-old, I had a scratch and sniff book. And I remember this book. It had a big apple on one of the pages. And I really loved this book. It occurred to me that it could be easily put together, having the technology behind scratch and sniff books and inks, and what is now called a Corowell. So I frantically read all I could on scented inks, the history and the suppliers. I drew up a product specification and a high level architecture and filed the first patent for Corowell on August 4th of last year. After that, I went to see my old friend and previous customer of other medical products, Professor Moudry in Switzerland, and I bounced off this idea with him. He was immediately interested and spent the next 3 days reviewing the relevant literature. And then after that, he said, Marcus, this is excellent. And ever since then, he tirelessly supported the project.
Yeah, so you, when we spoke before, you all sent me actually some of the tickets that work in conjunction with the app. So it sounds like you were inspired as from your childhood a little bit with the scratch and sniff tests to something that's currently happening with the global pandemic and kind of putting those together to create this rapid smell test to help with the diagnosis of COVID-19. So can you explain a little bit more about what CoreWell actually is? It's both an app and then there's also tickets. So can you talk a little bit about how those two things work together?
Yes. So the test is quite simple, which is the best thing about this. It's simple, and on the flip side, it's also a bit of the Achilles heel because it is very simple, and sometimes when things are too simple, they are not taken too seriously, but this is very serious business. So you download the iOS or Android CoreWell app from the app stores. In order to avoid searching for it, we printed on the ticket, on the back of the ticket, a download code, so it's simple for someone to navigate and find the software. You open the ticket, it is sealed, it has a little sealant sticker on the side to assure that everyone sees that this ticket is new and unused. Then you scan on the inside a QR code. With this scan, the app that you previously downloaded opens and it lists a possible set of scents on your smartphone. Then you scratch the scented green area of the ticket and smell the emitted scent. This is the scratch and sniff part. And then you select the correct one of the choices of the display. So you are given 10 different answers and one of them is the correct one. The way we've pre-sifted the answers is to not make it particularly difficult for someone. We want to confirm someone can smell. And the answers that are the wrong answers that are provided are not there to trick anyone. So we, for example, would not offer a lemon, grapefruit, orange for a citrus fruit to make it not too difficult for someone because we're not expecting that someone is a 7-star cook and be able to discern all the different scents. Mm-hmm. So it's a qualitative measurement. Then you confirm answers that are COVID related. We ask if you had contact with someone. We ask if you had been previously PCR positive tested. We ask if you have had symptoms. And particularly, we ask one more time if you had recently a loss of your sense of smell. Once you have all this correctly completed, you advance to the name entry screen where you enter your name for the what we call the pass. And then you get on your smartphone the CoreWell pass with the date and the time of issue. Now, if you didn't detect the scent or you didn't any answer any of the questions correctly, then you will not get a pass. We don't say that he who doesn't get a pass is automatically COVID infected. We say that these people that do not get a pass are suspect of having a COVID infection because they show symptoms or are at risk due to contact or having flu symptoms or having a previous positive PCR test within the previous 14 days.
Fantastic. So a little bit more into details in regards to the tickets. So the app does work with the tickets. Currently, can you explain a little bit more about how people would get their hands on these? But like, would the companies that are monitoring the people entering their building provide them, or would the individual need to have them on their own?
Yeah, so the ticket is the physical ticket with the scented ink. You can buy in many different ways. You can buy it, for example, in the US, you can buy it on Amazon. It's offered there. We have a distribution center in Colorado. You can buy it through our website. You can buy it through a handful of different online shops. We have in CoreWell.pass. We have CoreWell.uk. We have online shops where people can buy the tickets. In these still early days, we are working with, we call them operators. Those are companies that have decided to work with CoralWell. These companies sometimes offer the tickets, for example, restaurants or public buildings that offer the tickets to the customers. And then there's, of course, also the possibility for people to buy tickets on these various different means.
Fantastic. So I want to skip around in the order a little bit here, but my next question for you actually is in regards to those with anosmia like myself prior to COVID-19. So when you guys were creating this rapid smell test, how does this test take into account this group when using it in public? Are there any exceptions that are built in for those who've had anosmia prior to COVID-19?
So we are aware that about 4 to 5% of the population cannot smell for a number of different reasons, and they're not related to COVID-19. So it would be wrong to say that everyone that cannot smell is at risk of COVID-19. Because of this population, there are certain surgeries that may leave someone without the sense of smell. There are illnesses. There are neurodegenerative diseases that affect the sense of smell. Those people will, however, most likely not complete our test successfully, as they will not be able to detect the scent. Of course, that depends a bit on the gravity of their smell disorder. The COVID-19 cases, for the most part, have a complete loss of sense of smell, not a partial loss. At the same time, people with such pre-existing condition will most likely have a medical certificate that will confirm this condition. But as from a macro perspective, we at the test, we cannot discern between someone that cannot smell for a other medical reason or COVID. So we will not issue a pass to someone that cannot smell.
Got it. So that leads me into the next question, which we've talked about previously as well. But the website and the ticket themselves mentions that if you can't smell, you are not well. So how does that tagline take into account this group of people, the small percentage, 4 to 5%, who have a smell disorder prior to COVID-19? Yeah, they would need to provide this medical certificate?
We would expect, exactly. We would expect that the people that have a known prior smell disorder, we would expect that they knew about this and they will have seen medical attention and will have some sort of a certificate that justifies the reason why they cannot smell. And they could then issue it, show or demonstrate, show their certificate at such a checkpoint and would have justification of their inability to smell.
So that's interesting. I know here in the United States, obviously those who have like pre-COVID-19 anosmia, and I can speak for myself at least, I know my diagnosis and I have that information like in my head, but I don't have any kind of certificate on hand. There is an association called the Invisible Disabilities Association that I'm familiar with, and they actually have something that's like this. So they have a certificate that you can apply for or seek out through their organization, but I don't think it's very common. So I'm just foreseeing moving forward that if these rapid smell tests become more common, something like that would be needed.
Yeah. We are, as you can imagine, the COVID situation is rapidly changing on an almost daily basis, and we're a flexible company. We're working on integrating multiple incremental inputs. It's also important to have in a future generation, have the ability to read in those people that have been vaccinated, to read in other means of having demonstrated the absence of COVID into these tools. So this is also in our R&D work. We're improving our product to more and more draw from those resources, like you mentioned, in order to make this easy for people to not carry around a bunch of different tools.
Right. Yeah, that would be one recommendation just from personally having anosmia, if there was a question about have you lost your sense of smell prior to COVID-19, just so that the pass could note that to help assist with the whole process, I guess.
Of course, I have. I know due to this work, I know quite a few people. COVID has also touched my family. One of my sons has had COVID around Thanksgiving this year, and it's interesting to note he was not at all symptomatic, which is the case for many people, particularly the younger generation that do not get very sick with COVID. He only found out that he was COVID positive because he wanted to get on an airplane, and he had to demonstrate a PCR test to get on the plane. He failed the test and he was found positive. And the next day he lost his sense of smell. This was Thanksgiving time. And he's still struggling. He still has a difficulty with the sense of smell. It's coming back gradually, but it's been a long time that he suffered from this. So this is it's not a simple 2-3 day thing. In many cases, it lasts much longer.
Definitely, I agree. So kind of moving back into questions in regards to the actual test itself. So the Corwell test, the rapid smell test, you had mentioned that it recently received FDA approval. So can you explain to listeners a little bit more about what is involved in that process to get FDA approval?
Yeah, so the terminology has to be correct. You have what FDA calls an FDA approval or an FDA registration or an FDA clearance. This depends a bit on the classification of the device that you go through the process with FDA. So our device is a class 2 exempt. There is a class 1, 2, 3 that is with higher numbers, more involved in the overall process. A class 2 exempt device requires specific system validations, requires qualifications and testing, a technical dossier, and a registration with FDA. So the company has to be a medical device company. The manufacturer has to be registered with FDA and has to assure that it has the proper technical documentation and quality system in place. Then you have to register this manufacturer with FDA. You have to pay fees, you have to pay annual fees, and you have to register a initial US importer for the product. This US importer is then the company, US-based, authorized to clear the product through customs, provided it is registered with FDA. Otherwise, it gets stuck in customs. So the process is a bit tedious, but it's well specified. We've gone through this numerous times because I've done many different products that have had FDA approval or clearance in the past, as well as CE mark. Our Corwell test started with the CE mark prior to FDA approval, for which we had to submit our technical dossier and so-called declaration of conformity to the authorities in Europe. And then a subset and some additional information has to be provided to FDA.
So it sounds like a long process, like you're describing.
It's painful. Well, we did it quite fast. You know, from the idea, which I mentioned earlier, the patent I filed on August 4, to obtaining FDA registration and clearance was a bit more than 3 months. This is unheard of. Typically, you take much, much longer than this.
And you're speaking specifically about August of 2020, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. I was like, you are a mind reader. If it was like August of 2019, a future predictor. Gotcha. So August 2020.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you'd like to share with listeners about your project, Corwell, or anything like that?
Yeah, there is a recent study that was published by the University of Colorado that had some very interesting findings. And I just want to say a few things about this. This publication has shown that if you were to test every 3 days with a smell test, then you could reduce the reproduction rate by up to 55%. Reproduction rate being how many people every infected infects in the secondary infection. So a reproduction rate of 1 would mean that everyone that gets infected will infect one other person. if you can reduce the reproduction rate by 50 or 55%, that means only two people infect one other person. Now, this reproduction rate reduction that the University of Colorado found to be a predictor for testing every 3 days of 55% reduction is demonstrably better than all of the measures that are currently in place, including the lockdown that governments have been implemented. So in another publication that came out a few months ago from Lancet, there was 790 lockdowns were studied, and the effects of school closure and workplace closure and restaurant event closures were all added up. And you could achieve with that a reduction in reproduction rate of about 48%. The other element that is mind-boggling to me is that the total cost, the cost to the system of a day of lockdown is in the billions, in the billion euros per day. While if you were to look just as on our most recent lockdown, we are in Germany in lockdown since November 2nd, almost over 60 days now, the spending or the total economic damage is certainly in the hundreds of billions, while the entire population in Germany could be smell tested for just over 1 billion euros for the same period of time. So a fraction of the cost with likely the same or even a better outcome.
Wow, that is pretty incredible to think about. The lockdown is very costly to the economy, that's for sure.
And you in the States, you don't have your lockdowns, whatever, you know, your lockdowns are not as severe as ours. In our case, we can have one person that's not in our household visiting us. We have no restaurants that are open. We have only the absolute essential stores that are open, the grocery stores and pharmacies and gas stations. Everything else is closed, so that all the little businesses that you know have, that you probably still have quite a few restaurants open in the States, they all closed. And you go to Finland, for example. I spoke to our Finnish distributor this morning. You cannot have any other people visiting you at home, zero. So the lockdowns are quite dramatic. And also for the, let's say, the psychology of the people, people are getting eventually getting depressed now, having 1 year of this on and off and on and off being locked away. That was one of our big motivators in our test. The CoroWell test, as I've described it, is a, we call it a whitelist test. So we're trying to do something for those people that are not infected. We're giving them a pass. And currently still, this is in the upper 90 percentile, is the people that are actually not infected, affected, yes, but not infected by COVID. And they still have to suffer through all these measures and lockdowns. And we're trying to provide a bit more normal life to them, that indeed they could be given more liberties while we're still protecting the people that are sick.
Mm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I hope that moving forward that these types of exams or the rapid smell tests, if they take into account the pre-existing anosmia group, I think that it would be fantastic to utilize these more for the reasons that you just outlined.
Yeah, so people can also learn about us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, LinkedIn, all the social media platforms. We're present. You can find information about us, our website, and as I mentioned earlier, the online shops.
Fantastic. And just for everyone listening, what is the website to find more information?
It's www.corowell.com.
Fantastic. And I'll make sure to include that in the episode description as well. So thank you so much for agreeing to speak with us for the podcast. It was great to learn a little bit more about this new phenomenon of the rapid symptom screening tests for smell. I really appreciated speaking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Dr. Haller for coming on the podcast and sharing more about his own story and about the CoroWell Rapid and Objective COVID-19 Symptom Screening Test. If you'd like to learn more about the product, you can visit CoroWell.com or follow CoroWell on social media. So what do you all think about the idea of needing to provide documentation of a smell disorder if these rapid smell tests become more commonplace? I'd love to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts on social media. Send me a voicemail on the Anchor app, which I can use for a future episode, or send me an email. So this week, for additional updates, I'd like to share with you all again about the Smell and Taste Association of North America, or STANA, being formed. Currently, there are no active patient organizations focused on smell and taste disorders in the USA, and that's where STANA comes in. The aim of STANA is to become this much-needed resource for all of us. Our mission is to provide a voice for people with smell and taste disorders through education and public awareness. We advocate for funding for research on smell and taste disorders. We collaborate with individuals living with these disorders, healthcare professionals, and institutions to provide evidence-based education, resources, and networking opportunities. We also partner with organizations around the world who are aligned with our vision to broaden our outreach. STANA's website is online at www.thestana.org, and the fundraising website is also located there. I'd love to give you all an update and share that we have raised over $2,000 of our $5,000 goal to becoming an established 501c3 organization. If you are able to donate to help us get started, that would be much appreciated. If you are unable to donate at this time, please consider sharing the fundraising page with your network so we can raise the funds needed to get established. Even if every person listening donates $5, that would be super helpful. If you have any questions, or if you'd like to get involved, please visit the website, thestana.org, or email us at info@thestana.org. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can email me at thesmellpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Smell Podcast, and visit online at thesmellpodcast.com. I'm always interested in sharing listener stories. And if you haven't been to the website before, please check out the Global Impact feature because it's a map that shows where all of the different podcast guests are from, and we come from all over the world, which I just think is really cool. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the Smell Podcast if you listen using iTunes. Reviews are helpful because they allow others to find the show. And finally, if you would like to financially support the podcast, you can do so by clicking on the link in the episode description. I appreciate your support. And a huge shout out to all of the monthly contributors because your generosity is what makes the podcast possible. Until next time, have a great day.